Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 23rd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Grace Ann Cooper. And after Grace Ann reads the scripture for us, we'll enjoy some time together to talk about things of life and faith. Thank you so much, Grace Ann, for joining the podcast today.
Our first reading is from 2 Corinthians 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written, "The one who gathered much did not have too much." And the one who gathered little did not have too little. Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. Our next reading is from Psalm 68, verses 1 through 18. May God arise, may his enemies be scattered, may his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. When you, God, went out before your people, When you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens poured down rain, before God, the one of Sinai, before God, the God of Israel. You gave abundant showers, O God. You refreshed your weary inheritance. Your people settled in it, and from your bounty, God, you provided for the poor. The Lord announces the word, and the women who proclaim it are a mighty throng. Kings and armies flee in haste. The women at home divide the plunder. Even while you sleep among the sheep pens, the wings of my dove are sheathed with silver, its feathers with shining gold. When the Almighty scattered the kings in the land, it was like snow fallen on Mount Zalmon. Mount Bashan, majestic mountain, Mount Bashan, rugged mountain, why gaze in envy, you rugged mountain, at the mountain where God chooses to reign, where the Lord himself will dwell forever? The chariots of God are tens of thousands and thousands of thousands. The Lord has come from Sinai into his sanctuary. When you ascended on high, you took many captives. You received gifts from people, even from the rebellious, that you, Lord God, might dwell there. Our next reading is Ezekiel 8. In the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day, while I was sitting in my house, and the elders of Judah were sitting before me, the hand of the sovereign Lord came on me there. I looked, and I saw a figure like that of a man. From what appeared to be his waist down, he was like fire, and from there up his appearance was as bright as glowing metal. He stretched out what looked like a hand and took me by the hair of my head. The Spirit lifted me up between the earth and heaven, and in visions of God he took me to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the idol that provokes to jealousy stood. And there before me was the glory of the God of Israel, as in the vision I had seen in the plain. Then he said to me, Son of man, look toward the north. So I looked, and in the entrance north of the gate of the altar I saw this idol of jealousy. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The utterly detestable things the Israelites are doing here? Things that will drive me far from my sanctuary. But you will see things that are even more detestable. Then he brought me to the entrance to the court. I looked, and I saw a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, now dig into the wall. So I dug into the wall and saw a doorway there. And he said to me, Go in and see the wicked and detestable things they are doing here. So I went in and looked, and I saw portrayed all over the walls all kinds of crawling things and unclean animals and all the idols of Israel. In front of them stood 70 elders of Israel, and Jezaniah, son of Shaphan, was standing among them. Each had a censer in his hand, and a fragrant cloud of incense was rising. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of Israel are doing in the darkness, each at the shrine of his own idol? They say, The Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. Again he said, You will see them doing things that are even more detestable. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the house of the Lord, and I saw women sitting there mourning the god Tammuz. He said to me, Do you see this, son of man? You will see things that are even more detestable than this. He then brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord. And there at the entrance to the temple, between the portico and the altar, were about 25 men, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. They were bowing down to the sun in the east. He said to me, Have you seen this, son of man? Is it a trivial matter for the people of Judah to do the detestable things they are doing here? Must they also fill the land with violence and continually arouse my anger? Look at them putting the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will deal with them in anger. I will not look on them with pity or spare them. Although they shout in my ears, I will not listen to them.
Thank you so much, Grace Ann, for joining us on the podcast today. I want to hear a little bit to start about your journey of faith. How did you come to faith in Christ?
Well, I'm glad to be here. And I came to Christ, you know, I never knew a time growing up that
that was not the center of my home. I was very, very blessed to have wonderful parents that never confused me. I never got mixed messages between what they said and what they did. It was very clear to me that their heart was about Jesus and serving him, and that's also what they did. So I do, as I get older, I feel more and more grateful that that was shown to me and that that was not something I had to sort out through what I saw. So I grew up in the church, and I was baptized when I was in fifth grade through Vacation Bible School. But I would say it, you know, became my own probably toward the end of high school. And that was through my church, through different people, and through my family, my siblings, and things like that.
Tell me a little bit more about your family growing up and then maybe your family today.
Well, growing up, I was very, very fortunate to have, I think, just an ideal upbringing. I grew up on a farm in a small town in Mississippi. People might be surprised to know that I had the grand champion and the reserved grand champion pig in the livestock show of the same year. That's my claim to fame. But I grew up the youngest of five children and just a very settling, safe environment. My father has passed away, but my mother is still living. She'll be 90 pretty soon. And one of the things that her sitters do with her is listen to the Project 119 podcast for reading, Bible reading. She's always been a student of the Bible and just has always just leaned on that for any of her inspiration and strength. And we're just so thankful that we found, you know, the podcast, and that that is something that now that she can't really read, that she can still soak in and take in. And so we're so thankful for that. Also, I have a great family now. My husband, Clark, and we have been at this church now for about 15 years, and it's been a big blessing in our life. I have Lee, my oldest son, is going to be a junior at the University of Alabama, and then Sally is going to be a sophomore at Ole Miss, and then I have Lizzie, who's going to be a junior at Mountain Brook High School. So this church has poured into our lives, and we're so thankful, and it's just been a real big part of all of our lives and our faith journey.
I want to hear a little bit more about your work. What do you do? What are you passionate about? Things like that.
I am a preschool teacher here at the ELC, and I love that. Teaching is something that is life-giving to me, and my mother has always said, don't get too far away from it. Like, always have some form of teaching in your life, and I think that's wise words because I do, it's life-giving. I do think it's a gift that God's given me, and I think it's a very freeing way for me to serve. So teaching, whether it be my job now where I teach two-year-olds, which is a very fun place to be, or, you know, teaching a Sunday school class or teaching a Bible club or teaching, you know, in any kind of thing like that. And that's the way where I definitely feel like I'm serving.
Okay, just a follow-up question there. When did you discover that teaching was one of your gifts?
Well, growing up, I went to a camp in Mentone, Alabama, Camp DeSoto. And I loved that. And that provided a way for me to realize, kind of outside of my small town, that there were other things that I might be interested in. So when I was a college freshman, after my college freshman year, I was a counselor there. And that probably is when I realized this is natural and I love this. This is fun to me, where other people might be intimidated by it. It was something that I was ready to take on, ready to do. I kind of thought about it at, you know, times when I wasn't teaching. How could I do that? What would be fun? Different ways to do that. I come from a line of teachers, so that kind of was the talk in my house growing up. But as I got to camp and was a camp counselor, I just realized I feel most alive when I'm doing that, and I connect with people while I'm doing that, and I enjoy it, and it's a gift to me. So I've continued through. I went to camp several years to be a counselor, and it really was such a blessing to me. I saw people really live out their faith, and I was affirmed for a gift of teaching and being used by God to do that.
I wish everyone who listens to the podcast could see Grace Ann in action. I told her before we taped this just how meaningful her gift is to me, and to see her with the little two-year-olds, but also when we were in the youth ministry, her interactions. And even when we go on a women's retreat, she'll be our MC because we need someone who's not afraid to take a little charge and help us to have a little fun as we're gathering together. I'm curious, do you have a favorite song or favorite verse that you would share with us?
I do. I do have a favorite verse, and I didn't really realize this was my favorite verse, but it is something that brings great comfort to me. It's John 14:27. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. I do not give as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled or afraid. That has always been an affirming verse for me of with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I have access to a peace that I cannot find anywhere else.
Thank you so much, Grace Ann, for sharing this time with us. Would you pray for us as we close the podcast today?
Dear God, we thank you for your word. Help us to trust in you to lead us and to guide us. Help us to delight in your word daily. We lean on your word for assurance and peace. Thank you for your presence and that you never, ever leave us. We love you. Amen.